This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network, live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Welcome back, dude. On the Tee Florida, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th hole clubhouse studios down here at 13th and Central. If you're a Thursday night football fan, all you Bucks fans, come on down. This is the Buffalo Bills unofficial headquarters as well. And, of course, the Tampa Bay Bucks each and every Sunday. And we've got Lightning. And guess who's at the Lightning right now? It is Jeremy Friedman. He is the media director at the Anika, driven by Gamebridge at Pelican, and he's kind enough to take a few minutes. You're right there on Thunder Alley, are you, my man?
I am. I'm actually, I walked into the ticket office here at Amalie Arena, so it would be a little quieter because Thunder Alley is it's quite loud, and they've got they got the music booming out there, so you probably wouldn't be able to hear me if I was out in Thunder Alley. But, yes, you guys are down at Ferg's. I am here at Amalie. We're supporting our Tampa Bay Lightning here tonight.
Yeah, where else can you listen talk about LPGA golf at a NHL hockey event only on the Tee Florida? And I appreciate you taking a few moments because your time's very valuable. You're just a few weeks away now. For actually 2 weeks from today is the first round, right?
Correct. 2 weeks from today is the first round of the tournament. It's at Pelican Golf Club in Bel Air, which is south of just south of Largo and near Clearwater Beach. We've got a really tremendous field that's shaping up. We've got a few additional commitments this past week. We have 9 of the top 10 in the world, 16 of the top 20, and it's the final regular season event on the LPGA Tour. Before the season ender, CME Group Tour Championship the following week in Naples.
Talk about the purse.
$3.25 million.
Wow. Oof.
That is it is the largest purse outside of the major championships. So it is a $1.25 million increase from last year. $2 million purse last year, $3.25 this year. There's only one or two other tournaments that have a $3 million purse. We're at 3.25. So it's one of those tournaments that Gamebridge is the new title sponsor and Anika as the tournament host and Pelican Golf Club as the owner. Between the three of them, they're wanting to elevate this tournament, right? They're wanting to make it one of the premier events on the LPGA Tour and having this tournament purse as large as it is, it provides opportunities for the game's great players to compete and put a little money in their pocket.
Well, Anika had a little news this week as well, and she is now a member of Augusta, where the Masters is played. Obviously, that's great news for the women's game. They've already made strides up there with their collegiate participation, and of course, Condoleezza Rice. But Anika, that was an announcement over the weekend. That had to been huge for you guys as well.
Well, also, in what we announced today is. This is kind of a partnership with Gamebridge. It's called Parity Week by Gamebridge. So Parity is a subsidiary of Gamebridge, and they are all about empowering women's sports. They are in elevating the platform of women's sports and kind of evening the playing ground between men's and women's events. And Gamebridge is the reason why it's called Parity Week by Gamebridge. Gamebridge is title sponsoring 3 events. Across professional sports the week of the Anika. So it's the Anika driven by Gamebridge. It is the Billie Jean King Cup in Spain by Gamebridge, and then the Women's Motorsports Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, all the same week. So there is going to be over 180 female professional golfers that are competing for over $13 million across these 3 events. That was announced today, and Anika is a big part of that And that is a big focus of what we are doing for tournament week going forward.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic. You know, one of the things, too, I wanted to ask you about, I saw where you have a South Carolina junior, Louise Reifkus. She's got a sponsor's exemption into the Annika. She won the Annika Intercollegiate Tournament presented by 3M. And so this is going to be her debut. So this is, the first sponsor exemption in. How many sponsor exemptions will there be for this event?
There will be three total. So we've got two more to go. We'll probably announce one next week, or we will wait for tournament day, because we've got a lot of players that are competing in the Monday qualifier who are trying to get into tournaments. That may kind of dictate who our final sponsor exemption will be. So we have two more to go. But yes, Louise Reifkus, she's a future star on the LPGA Tour. She's a rock star at South Carolina. She's a junior All-American. She won the Annika Intercollegiate this summer up in Minnesota, led South Carolina to their first team win this fall. And with Louise too, she was here for media day a couple of weeks ago with Annika and Elizabeth Sokol. And the SEC Women's Championship, the conference championship, is also going to be at Pelican Golf Club next spring. So this is going to be a good, this is going to be a good, not practice, I mean, it's her LPGA debut, but it's going to be a good training ground for her as she prepares for the SEC Conference Championships, because her assistant coach is going to be here caddying for her. So it's going to be a great experience for her all across the board.
Hey, explain to our audience that aren't familiar with the process of sponsors exemption. Is it by committee? Is it lobbying on their part? Explain that to us behind the scenes, would you?
Yeah, it kind of depends on the tournament. For this tournament, so what the sponsor exemption means, it's basically there's three spots that are held open, and the tournament extends an invite to players to compete in the event. For this one, for the Annika, it's we will grant sponsor exemptions from players who submit a letter requesting sponsor exemptions. A lot of players do that across all the terms. They'll submit a letter to the tournament director or to the title sponsor, why they, what they're doing, what their goals are, why it's beneficial for them, beneficial for the tournament to play in the tournament. So for us, for the Annika, it is voted on by committee. We have the first one that Louise got in. So that was Annika's exemption. So that was the one that Annika Sorenstam granted. And then the other two are given by tournament and club committee. So we have two more to go. Most tournaments are between three and four sponsor exemption. Some of them are, they're LPGA Tour players who may have lost their card, right, due to circumstances or didn't make it through Q school. Other ones are if you're in different markets, if it's a hotshot local product from a local school. Like as an example, the last tournament that I did which was in Dallas, the Ascendant LPGA, we gave two sponsor exemptions to Southern Methodist University All-Americans that are also based in Dallas. So it kind of depends. It kind of depends on the tournament. But this one is it's done by committee, and we have two more to go. So probably that will be announced probably either later next week or beginning of tournament week.
Hey, Jeremy, last week we had James Poulter on from the First Tee of Clearwater, and he was mentioning to us that you all have a junior golf program on Saturday. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, we do. It's the junior golf show, and we do it in conjunction with the First Tee of Clearwater and the Chichi Rodriguez Foundation. We're doing that once again this year. Annika Sorenstam is going to be a part of that clinic. What it is, it's a great opportunity for not only for First Tee kids, well, especially for First Tee kids, but junior golfers and kids who come out to the tournament to see the game's great players and instruction tips and just talk about talk about the game of golf in general, because as you guys know, just like I do, the First Tee it's not only about lessons on the golf course, but it's about lessons in life, right? That's the big thing that diversity is about. And that's what this clinic is all about on Saturday. We call it the Junior Golf Show, because it's we've got the LPGA stars and Annika that are going to be hosting the clinic in the show. But the show is about the kids. It's introducing the game of golf to kids who may not normally have an opportunity to take up the game of golf, but golf clubs in their hands, and have the game's great players show them what a great game this is.
We're talking to Jeremy Friedman. He's live from the Tampa Bay Lightning ticket closet.
Yep.
Or window.
Well,
are you taking any tickets?
No, not yet. It's not telling the ticket closet. I'm in the Lakewood Ranch ticketing lounge, right next to the ticketing office. So
Nothing but high dollar for Jeremy Friedman. You know how to work it, my man. And
you
guys are out there on Thunder Alley. That's a blast. We'll let you get out there and have some fun. Spread the news and the word about the Annika. Of course, brought to you by, of course, Gainbridge and at the Pelican. We're looking forward to being up there on 2 weeks from today, actually. We'll bring the team up.
2 weeks from today, yep, and just a quick ticket plug. All tickets are available on our website, theannika.com, and there's a variety of ticket packages available: grounds tickets, hospitality tickets, Lightning Lounge tickets, in partnership here with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mike and guys, we look forward to seeing you here in a couple weeks. And I was texting with Adam Woodard right before I came on. I'm like, well, I got to follow Adam. That's a tough act to follow. And he was just chuckling.
I tell you what, he is certainly a plethora of topics when you're talking the great game of golf. He can go from the Champions Tour all the way down. I think he could cover high school, but the collegiate
100%. 100%. Yeah. He is. Adam is a golf encyclopedia for sure.
Yeah, well, we're fortunate to have him in our world, as I've been to have you in my world since about 2004 or 2005. We just took a decade off, brother.
Yeah, we just took a little breather. Took a little time off. That's all right.
I can't wait to see you in person for the first time 2 weeks from today. I'll talk to you soon. We'll get the logistics set up for our show being live up there. Enjoy the game. Go Bolts.
Go Bolts.
All right. Go Bulls, go Rays, go Bucks, all of that, and go golf. So thanks, you guys. Thanks for having me hop on, and we'll talk to you all soon.
All right, he's Jeremy Friedman. Yeah, think about it. Tonight, the Bucks and Bolts.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Tampa Bay's rocking and rolling, and the Rays, I do like to see the Texas Rangers in the World Series. I know that's a bad way to look at it, but that's who knocked out the Rays, and everybody thought it was, you know, it was a one and done for them as well. It was a fluke, but it was not. So, John Rager, you got about 11 minutes with you before you go and jam with Sammy Hagar and of course, George Thorogood. We've got a young man, Bobby Van Sweden, in front of us who knows those guys a little bit. Share that with John.
Yeah, well, I used to be a roadie. I used to work for a band called Extreme, and we were the opening act for Van Halen for a period of about three and a half months. So I got to know Eddie and Alex and Michael and Sammy pretty well on a daily basis.
You survived it.
I did. 11 years on the road working for bands. I survived it.
Well, for 85, you don't look bad.
That's
I lost all my hair from it, but other than that, I survived.
So John, where is the concert? Is it on the beach, you said?
No, it's at the St. Augustine Amphitheater, which is about 4,000-seat venue there. A beautiful spot right off of A1A near the lighthouse and near St. Augustine Beach. So we're looking forward to it. We do get a lot of great acts. And you know, one of the things, Bobby, that's really amazing to me is how these people have to pack it up, move on to the next venue, or they have to either coming in from the next venue and they get all that stuff unloaded and get it all set up. It's quite a production.
It is quite a production. It's a logistical nightmare sometimes, especially when you're dealing. Those kind of arenas are pretty easy to do. When you're dealing with stadium tours, it's a logistical nightmare trying to get everything in place and get it shipped in and shipped out every day.
When are you writing the book?
I can't. I've signed too many non-disclosure contracts in my career out there.
Wait till towards the end. You got a decade left in your life. Then do it. Go ahead and sue me. Make some jack.
Once they all pass away, maybe I can do it.
Sammy the Bull Gravano just did it, and he's got a podcast, and he's still got a contract down on from the mob. He figured at 78 years old, I just read that story. Sammy the Bull, he's telling the story. He's got some non-competes too, I think, that could go into place.
Hey, Bobby, you know, I had the good fortune of being down in Los Cabos, and I went to Sammy Hagar's cafe down there, and I saw a picture on the wall. He was playing golf. Did you ever play golf with him, or did you know he played golf?
No, you know, when I was out on tour, you're working 24 hours a day. Even on the days off, I was either preparing new hotel rooms, air flights, everything, trying to get us, you know, going for the next few shows. So I really never had a day off, really, when I was on tour. If I did, I was sleeping.
Well, how in the world did you transition from that into the world of golf? Because that is quite a bit a different transition. It's not like you were a baseball player or you were in the hospitality industry. You were in the, you know, you were in the rock and roll event concert industry, and now you turned up as one of the premier club fitters in the Florida area. How did you make that transition?
You know, I just took a sharp right-hand turn, and I started playing some golf. I came home to visit my mom in 92, and a couple of my friends were bartenders that played golf during the day. So I started playing with them. I met my wife, and that kind of changed the direction of a lot of stuff. I was supposed to go out. I went out with Third Eye Blind for 3 weeks, and I was a 9-week tour, and I quit after the third week because I always told people I was always in lust. I was never in love, but I fell in love with my wife. So I came home, said, I'm going to find a job here locally in St. Pete, and I'm going to give us a year and see how it works. And if it doesn't work, I'll go back on tour. It worked out between us, and I started working in a golf shop, and one thing led to another. And I started learning how to work on golf clubs. Next thing you know, I started sizing and fitting people, and it just grew from there. And after about a year and a half working at that shop, I tried to buy into the business. They didn't want that. So I said I have to leave, and they thought that meant going back on tour with bands, and I opened up my own shop on the other side of town 2 weeks later.
And Fantastic story. 29
and a half years later, I'm on the radio talking to you guys today.
Well, we're going to continue this. We're going to take a break. We're going to let John go get his hair poofed up, stretch, get on his concert gear. Tell your lovely bride.
You know, I'm going to hang on just a little bit longer because the lovely Miss Karen is still getting herself ready. So we haven't left yet, so I'll let you know when I'm going to jump off.
That could take a half hour. I do got to take a break. I'm going to take a quick break because I didn't take one last hour. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll continue talking to John Rager as he gets ready. How ironic to have you on the same night that he's going to this concert. So we'll be back on the T Florida live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Tampa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays, Bucks, and Lightning watch parties every game, and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Tampa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
On the Tee Florida, Florida's fastest growing premier golf and entertainment show has now moved to Thursday nights from 5 to 7, providing more golf entertainment and inside information from PGA to LPGA, LIV, NCAA, high school, and local events. A show for scratch golfers and fun-loving hacks. Two pros, John Rieger and Bill Butner, sharing PGA Golf Tour insights and tips, along with the hack Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation, inserting Caddyshack humor with our talented entertainment team of Kerry McNally, Tom Gibran, and Ice Pick Vodka Cocktail Queen, and Cart Girl, the talented Patty Suzette. Tune in to On the Tee Florida, Thursdays from 5 to 7, from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill 19th Hole Clubhouse and Ice Pick Vodka Studios for a chance to win golf passes, swag, Rays Bucks Rowdies tickets, and Ferg's Full Swing Simulator passes. That's On the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Streaming on Florida Sports Stream and RadioSt.Pete.com. Tee it high and let it fly with On the Tee Florida and Ice Pick Vodka.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to On the Tee Florida as we wind things down for John Rager. Of course, he's one of the pros up there in St. Augustine Beach. Across from me, Bill Butner, 21 years at the helm at Eckerd College. And you've been, is it 23 years at St. Pete Country Club?
23 years, yeah.
23 years and 15 years on the PGA Tour.
All kinds of good
news. I got all the magic numbers?
Sure.
And how long were you married?
Wow.
Well, I had
19. I do know
you
that.
You combined mine, too, and they weren't 19. Anyway, we digress. Jeff Ward's in the house. Of course, he's our resident fitness trainer. We'll talk a little bit. I've got a project for him I'm going to talk about on the air that I think the golf audience will like. And we also are blessed to have a guy that's very interesting. You know, I say that Tom Gribben is St. Petersburg's most interesting man. And he certainly is. And he is fresh back from Italy. Unfortunately, he... a little under the weather. I hope he's listening right now and starts to feel better. But Bobby Van Sweden, I think you might be the most interesting, at least Boca Ciega Pirate. Yeah. What year did you graduate? 88. My girlfriend graduated, I think, about 83. Okay. But we get behind. We have some other productions. One's high school, and I've got a couple Boca Ciega kids that work for me. So I kind of adopted Bogey because they're having some hard times in the world of sports. We like to give them a lot of love. So you're a proud Pirate.
Yeah, proud Pirate. Went there. My wife went to Bogey too. So yeah.
And you did not know her while you were in high school?
I did. I knew my wife vaguely. We traveled in two different realms of people, man.
I'm sure you were the wild child.
I was a jock. And she was more of a bookworm, so to speak.
That's a good blend, though.
Yeah. Opposites attract.
So you're a jock that went out on the rock and roll road for how many years?
11. Yeah, I started out doing tour security for bands. I have a background in boxing, and
we'll talk about that briefly.
Martial arts. So I started out doing security for bands, and then worked my way into being a road manager. So. It was a lot of fun. I mean, 11 years. I traveled all over the world. I've done shows on 6 of the 7 continents. And, you know, my only regret is I didn't get to go with Metallica to Antarctica to do a show.
You didn't have a bucket list. You probably touched every one of them.
I got bucket lists. Trust me. I'm just waiting until my kid gets through college, and then I'm going to start living my bucket list.
So how old is your child?
I got a 19-year-old son.
Now you got to wonder whether this being on this radio show is one of the bucket lists.
Yeah.
It certainly
it's
is.
It's got to be.
Hey, I had the Scripps Spelling Bee champion on my other show. This kid from Largo is 14, brilliant. He won the Scripps Spelling Bee, and he was on NASDAQ. He rang the bell. He was on the morning show on Fox, and the kid says, and looks us right in the eye. And I said, "What was the most enjoyable thing that you did, Deb?" Deb Shriver's his name. He goes, he looks, he's very, very, you know, stoic. He said, "This show."
Wow.
So his mother is now my doctor, and I said, "Your son thought our show was great. He came home and raved about it." Now that turned a couple of old men had some fun. Bob's probably going to tell everybody about it. Yeah, I was on this crazy man show with two pros, and how is your golf game? Are you lean towards the hack or the pros?
I have not played in 4 years.
Wow.
I have not played.
Is that because you're so busy, or you got an injury, or?
I have an injury. I have my right knee has no cartilage left in it.
Damn.
So it's like a knife going in when I pivot and rotate my knee.
Between your knee and his hip? Yeah. You guys played best ball.
Then, to be honest with you, I have a golf club in my hand 5 days a week. And the last thing I want in my hand on my day off is a golf club. It sounds terrible. But I'm hoping, you know, once my son leaves to go to college in the fall, I'm going to get my knee done in the summer, rehab for a while, and then I'm going to have to start working on my golf game again and playing, because I'm not going to be watching baseball games anymore.
Where is he headed? Where is he looking?
He's going to Santa Fe.
No, okay.
My dream is
New Mexico.
No.
Is that Santa Fe in this state? I'm not from here.
College in Gainesville. My dream is to have a University of Florida diploma on my wall at home.
A Gator?
Yeah, he's going to get it for me.
Gator. You know, this is FSU world down here.
Yeah. Well,
no, at Ferg, you know, it's everything.
Yeah.
It's everything.
They even accept the Tar Heels down here.
John Rager's up there in Gainesville. He's up there in Florida territory. He can tell you
hey,
all
Bobby,
about
it. Bobby, I wanted to ask you a couple questions about club fitting there, because it's very rare that we actually get somebody on the air that knows anything about club fitting. And what do you think to the average golfer, what is the most important thing for them to do to get fitted as far as making sure they've got the right club in their hand? What do you think of them? Is there one element of all the components of the club that's most important, or is it a collection of all the components together?
The first thing is you have to have a swing. If you don't have a swing, it's really hard.
You're out.
I'm out.
You're out.
It's really hard to fit some, you know? But I would tell you that really we're looking at a few different things. We're looking at what is the shaft that fits you best in the weight category, the stiffness. We have to look at lie angle. We have to look at grip size. We have to look at the head itself. So we'll take someone through, like an iron fitting, we'll take them through having them hit multiple shots with each shaft and head combination that we pick. And then we look over the data to see what's the carry distance look like, what's the total distance, what's the smash factor look like.
So you got simulators like these in your shop?
Yeah. What's the ball speed? You know, what's the distance? What's the spin rate? There's a lot of things that come into that play when you're trying to fit somebody ideally for a set of clubs, you know. I will tell you this, the one fitting that nobody does that we offer at my studio that I think is the most important fitting is a putter fitting. You use a putter three times more than any other club putting in the back. Yep. And nobody ever gets fit for their putter. And you can literally shave 2 to 6 strokes off of your game.
Describe the analysis of that.
So the most important thing about putter fittings is determining if you need to be in a face balance, slight toe hang, or strong toe hang putter. That's the most important aspect. Second to that is going to be how much loft do you need on the putter, lie angle, length, and grip size. That all plays into the factor. And once you're able to determine what that person needs, then you can start testing putters in a face balance that they might need or a toe hang, and start getting more data off the launch monitor to determine what is going to the ultimate goal is to try and get to 0.0 impact with the ball, so square at impact. So that's the most important thing. I've seen customers lower their score within 2 months after a putter fitting, 2 strokes all the way up to 8 strokes. I have one guy, he literally took 8 strokes off his game with a putter fitting.
I'm getting ready to go out on the Happy Gilmore mini golf tour.
Yeah.
I think I'll probably come over and have you get me fitted before I hit the road. What do you think, fellas?
I like it. But like you said, you need to have a swing.
I do.
You heard that.
I do when it comes to putting.
Okay.
Putter stroke's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm the biggest advocate of two things, and it has nothing to do with golf equipment. Lessons and your fitness. If you don't have your fitness,
you're sitting in between. Fitness and lessons. You're talking to lessons, and you're looking at somebody that needs all of it.
And I'm talking to guys that saying they need to go get fitted for, you know, the right shafts and the right lie angle and everything, and watching them swing the club in front of me.
Well, you know, I believe there's three equations to a golf swing problem. Clubs don't fit you correctly.
You suck.
Your swing needs improvement, and you need, you know, in a lot of the cases. I get a lot of guys coming in, man, they've got a 40-pound gut on them. Their swing is flat because they can't get through the ball. Their fitness is not healthy. And if you're not fit enough to swing a golf club, you're not going to be able to hit the ball well. So it's a combination of those three things that I believe really are the key to playing.
Well, I've been working out a lot lately, it's not helping my damn golf game.
Bobby, on the fitting then, so what could really happen is because you're a believer that it does tie in not only to your, you know, some skills that you acquire through lessons and your fitness, but it also has to do with, I guess, somebody's, you know, you could, as you get older and as your body changes, you know, just because you get fitted for a set of clubs that works for you when you're 35, when you're 55, you might need something a little bit different.
100%. I tell guys all the time, when I have a guy coming in my studio that's, you know, 30 years old, I said, hey, look, you're going to go through at least three sets of golf clubs moving forward from now until you finish playing golf when you're older. You know, you're going to go through your strong set, your stiff or extra stiff. You're going to go into your regular flex steel, and then you're going to go into your old man's clubs when you're really old.
My son worked at TaylorMade, and he got me a set of old man's clubs. Still struggle.
Why would he get you old man clubs?
Well, I was only like 50.
Oh.
I just had a guy in my shop, 72 years old, still playing stiff flex steel.
What?
Head speed and ball speed like you never thought. But the guy is ripped. He's on TRT.
Yep.
He takes care of himself.
What's TRT?
Testosterone replacement.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. But he hits the ball like nobody's business. But that's the exception to the game.
Still flexible, still strong.
Still flexible.
Wow.
Still has a lot of range of motion.
Gary Player.
You know, he's like a Greg Norman or a Gary Player. Yeah.
A Bernhard Langer.
So Bobby, what do you think is a reasonable amount of money to spend for a set of golf clubs? I mean, it's so far across the board. You know,
we've gotten ridiculous.
What do you think is, well, like, to do it the right way? Because a lot of times the challenge is sometimes, you know, you have beginners come in, but their swing hasn't developed yet, you know. Then all of a sudden they, you know, a couple of years later they develop as golfers. So you're talking about four different sets of clubs. Well, what should somebody reasonably spend?
Well, unfortunately, in this day and age, right now, in 2023, the golf manufacturers have just gotten absurdly greedy, and the prices of everything have skyrocketed. You can't get a full bag for under $3,200 now.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't. But there are box sets. I believe box sets are great for beginners. I can order someone a box set, and I can custom fit a box set that costs $499, $599.
Describe a box set to our audience that's not familiar.
A box set is a recreational set that comes in a box. It's got the driver, the fairway woods, the irons, the wedge, and the putter with a bag and head covers. They sell them at all the big box stores.
That's what I need to start buying here for these simulators. I buy and they just beat the hell out of these clubs. I should just buy box sets.
They're big name manufacturers too, like Callaway's making a set now. And I saw a guy playing them the other day, and I hit his 5-iron a couple times. I'm like, this is it's a good golf club.
Those are going to be in the higher end of box sets. Right. They're going to be like the $1,500 box.
How about Ram? I'm a big Ram guy.
Yeah, well, you know,
my first set.
Ram, Wilson.
Yeah, I've got Wilson's. Right here and at that, and I bought those. I should have come to your shop.
They're all
I didn't know you existed.
They're all great box sets. I try to tell every new beginner, get into the game as cheaply as you can with equipment and spend your money on lessons for the next year.
Oh, yeah.
Lessons are
great advice.
Lessons are the key to playing excellent golf, and people don't take enough lessons. Few of the reasons are either they had a really bad instructor the first time and it turned them off, or they just don't want to spend the money. But if you spend 90 to 100 bucks on an hour-long lesson once a month or twice a month, you're going to benefit with your golf game a lot more.
In my case, I was blackballed by every pro up in Iowa.
And again, Bobby's been very kind to sell me out to some of his customers to give him lessons. So kudos to Bobby.
Speaking of that, for our listeners out there, just so you know that Bill Butner, our PGA golf professional there at Fergs, is going to be giving golf lessons on our simulators, which is now quite a fashionable thing to do, and so you know, between you two guys getting people fitted and the lessons, I think you know, handicap improvement, the lower scores are looking up in St. Petersburg.
I've already got an idea for you two that we'll talk about.
Oh, this is going to be scary.
No, it's going to be successful.
Okay,
I'll just leave it at that. I like to surround myself with experts. I'm fortunate each and every week I got two pros, Bill Butner and of course John Rager. Now I've got a fitter who is obviously very, very accomplished, Bobby Van Sweden, and then I've got a gentleman that's very accomplished in the world of fitness, and I had a comedian that didn't bring his A game tonight with Kerry McNally. But it's always a lot of fun here at on the Tee, Florida. John, we're going to take another break. You're going to move on then?
Well, here's what's happening right now. The lovely Miss Karen's in the car. And, Bobby, I'll tell Miss Karen your story about your relationship there with Sammy Hagar as we head there. So enjoyed being on the Tee, Florida. Remind our listeners, go to onthetfloridagolf.com and find all about our John Rager report and everything going on with the Fergs 19th Hole Clubhouse.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We're going to continue this conversation with Bobby. I might even dip my toe in a little boxing conversation. We'll be right back on the T Florida live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Come on down tonight. It's Lightning and Bucks. Bucks, of course, and the Bills. Lightning, I think, puck drops in about 15 minutes. We'll be back on the T Florida live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays, Bucks, and Lightning watch parties every game, and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
On the Tee, Florida, Florida's fastest growing premier golf and entertainment show has now moved to Thursday nights from 5 to 7, providing more golf entertainment and inside information from PGA to LPGA, LIV, NCAA, high school, and local events. A show for scratch golfers and fun-loving hacks. Two pros, John Rieger and Bill Butner, sharing PGA golf tour insights and tips, along with the hack Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation, inserting Caddyshack humor with our talented entertainment team of Carrie McNally, Tom Gibran, and Ice Pick Vodka Cocktail Queen and Cart Girl, the talented Patty Suzette. Tune in to On the Tee Florida, Thursdays from 5 to 7 from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill 19th Hole Clubhouse and Ice Pick Vodka Studios for a chance to win golf passes, swag, Rays Bucks Rowdies tickets, and Ferg's Full Swing Simulator passes. That's On the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Streaming on Florida Sports Stream and RadioSt.Pete.com. Tee it high and let it fly with On the Tee Florida and Ice Pick Vodka.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
We've got a great show going on today. Of course, we've got Jeff Ward. We're going to get him for a couple of tips on stretching and getting ready for your golf game, as we talked about. Right now, we're talking to Bobby Van Sweden. How do people find you? Where are you located? How do they follow you? All the questions of John Regers, the pro, at sure. Asking.
So my website is bobvansweedengolf.com. I'm in St. Pete at 2300 26th Street North. We're just two blocks away from world-famous Mazzaro's Italian Market. A lot of people in the Tampa Bay area know where Mazzaro's is.
I've driven by your place and never even noticed.
Yeah, but I've been at my current location for 15 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
We're on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. So.
Well, bravo, and I love your business, you know, recipe for success, and as Jeff alluded to too, the fact that you're telling people not to spend the money right now until they get lessons. Don't waste the dough.
If they're a new golfer, yes. If they have a swing and they can repeat the swing.
Equipment reps hate you.
Oh, yeah. No, they do. Trust me, they do. You know, I worked part-time out on the PGA Tour for 9 years.
Being a roadie is just in your blood, brother.
I know the ins and outs of golf manufacturing. So it's... it's changed a lot over the last few years. Just COVID has changed everything. Supply and demand, the cost of golf equipment has gone up. You know, just everything has changed in the golf equipment industry. And now we have AI, artificial intelligence, which is really getting into designing golf clubs. So Callaway's at the forefront of that right now. They spent, I don't know how many millions of dollars on an AI computer that helps them design all their golf clubs and everything.
We're eliminating the human element. Yeah. And I'm glad that I'm as old as I am. I just feel for my grandkids and my children, yeah. The world that they're going to be presented with. But it is the technology. By the way, I want to thank Matt up there. The Lightning are playing the San Jose Sharks, fellas, just so that I was on top of it. Well, I appreciate you coming down.
Yes.
share a fun little story from the road when you're out with the band for our audience?
I got to find a PG story a minute.
That could take a while with the guys you were running with.
I got a great one for you. So I was out on tour with Megadeth and Slayer over in Europe. It was the Clash of the Titans tour in 1990. We were in Spain. Before cell phones and everything, I got a fax the day before from the State Department warning about gypsies and pickpocketing in Barcelona and Madrid. So I told everybody on the buses before we got off at the Intercontinental Hotel, do not put your backpacks down on the ground. Don't put any briefcases. Keep them with you because they're working the hotel lobbies. So Rick's
looking for pigeons.
Yeah, the manager of Slayer had the last 3 nights of settlement payments and everybody in Slayer and Testament, the band Testament's passports in his briefcase.
Oh.
Sat it down next to him at the front counter and said, hi, I'm so-and-so from Slayer. I'm checking us all in. They said, yeah, we just need to see your ID a second. Looks down and goes, okay, guys, this isn't funny. Someone give me my briefcase.
Gone.
And I was over to the side with my band, Megadeth, and I walked over and I said, it's gone. It's 3 blocks away by now. What was in the suitcase? What was in the briefcase? And he says, the last 3 nights of settlement and everyone's passports. I said, well, I guess the tour is going to stop for at least a week because we're going to have to get emergency passports for everybody that they got.
Wow.
So that gypsy crew probably got the biggest cash buyout.
It was cash?
Oh, there was cash money in there. It's, you know, it's like $1.6 or $1.3 million plus everyone's passport. The passports are worth just as much on the black market than that was. And that was in 1990.
Wow.
That happened over
in Europe. Have to grow your hair out to look right for the passport. But
Yeah. But that was a pretty...
devastating.
I can tell you one...
How about some humor?
I was going to say.
That pissed me off.
I had a girl that... handcuffed herself to the backstage door. I can't say what band it was because it's signed non-disclosure. She slit her wrists, and I had to bring the lead singer down after the show in a robe after he got out of the shower to talk to the girl while we were trying to get the handcuffs off and administer first aid to her. So it goes from one extreme to the other when you're...
Anything happy?
Oh, you know, yeah, there's lots of happy stories.
Give me one quick happy.
Jeez. Well... I was part of the Freddie Mercury tribute concert, which was one of the biggest shows at Wembley Stadium.
How cool was that?
Very cool.
Huge.
It's a huge show. To be a part of that was probably the cap of my career. Anytime you have a band that plays Wembley Stadium and you work for them, you've hit the pinnacle of our career.
That's the Super Bowl.
That's the Super Bowl of being a roadie is playing Wembley Stadium. And you know, I've got the pictures in the passes to show it.
He's pushing Tom Gribben for the most interesting man in St. Pete, at least for your generation.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're younger, right?
Yeah, I'm 56.
He's okay. A young guy like me.
You're a pup. You're a young guy. Speaking of young guys, give us some tips. I'm thinking building with your new show, of course, for the world of golf, taking Bernard Langer's fitness routine.
Yep.
Gary Player's.
Yep.
And then Miguel Angel Jimenez stretching techniques.
Yeah.
There combine those together.
I don't know if anybody could do Miguel's stretching techniques without a
take a lute or something and start going all over the place.
I'm actually in the process right now. I just spoke to a Facebook friend of mine, but it's one of these guys I've been talking to for 10 years. He's one of the top in the business with sports-specific conditioning and training for athletes. And we had a conversation going this week about developing a system based specifically for golf, for the game of golf, and that's going to be probably a third of the show or a quarter of the show for the podcast is the sports specific stuff. And there's a big debate going back and forth for years and years and years for working with athletes. Is it more important for them to train just general strength and flexibility, or is it more important to do sports specific stuff where you're actually mimicking the golf swing or mimicking whatever the movements of the sport are? And obviously for a sport like football or something like that, then general conditioning is much more important. Golf is much more a precision game. Baseball is more precision game. You know, how do you adapt to that with the programming stuff? And you say, go and talk with Bob about with a club fitting and things. It's the same thing. If you can't generate the stability to swing the golf club repeatedly, then and you're all over the place, and sometimes the weight's on your right foot, sometimes the weight's on your left foot, and you can't transition the weight from your right foot.
Yeah, because you're not fit.
With speed. Right. A lot of that has to do with just general strength. And like he said, he's got a knee that's torn up.
Yep.
So I work with a lot of guys that have got a bad left knee. Well, if you're trying to get somebody with a bad left knee to hit the ball further and they can't explode upward at impact, you know, okay, how do we do that without transitioning the weight to the fully to the left side? Right. Same thing with the club fitting. You may have a guy who's got an extra stiff shaft, who's got a blown out left knee, and you're trying to fit him. Like, no, we've got to go to a softer shaft for you because you're just going to have to use your hands more and time it
then
up.
Then you have to deal with the ego.
Right. Yeah. And they don't want to go down. We'll just put the X100 stickers on your right. S300 shaft.
Right.
You know, so you know, working with this guy, Nick, with the conditioning stuff and like so the big debate back and forth is, and the answer is just like everything else, just like fitting a different golf club to a different golfer. You fit a different fitness program to a different golfer. Yeah. You know, if I've got you, Mike, I'm and working with me, or if I've got a 27-year-old kid who's, you know, trying to make it for the second time on the Corn Ferry Tour, it's a completely different routine. You know, he may have ridiculous amounts of flexibility and coordination and balance and stability and speed, but he doesn't have the physical strength, or he doesn't, you know, or you know, something's lacking. So, you know, we'll watch video and watch him hit golf balls and watch him move in the gym and see where his strengths are. And a lot of these guys also, they've been doing nothing but swinging a golf club from the right side to the left side, from the right side to the left side for 20 years. And they build huge strength and balances where one side of the body is much stronger than the other different muscle groups. So it's about balancing that strength out. And then we talked about the flexibility and the warm-up routine 2 weeks ago in the show. And this week, you know, let's say it's coming back over to the strength side of it. So you got to determine as a golfer, as an athlete, where your weaknesses are and build the program around where the weaknesses are. So if I've got a guy who's got plenty of physical strength, but he's got no balance, he may be doing stuff on an inverted Bosu ball. He may be doing, you know, work where he's standing on one foot with his eyes closed doing dumbbell curls. Well, what do dumbbell curls do for the golf swing? Nothing. Nobody on the PGA Tour has got big biceps. But if you're doing a movement that requires you to use the right side of your body and the left side of your body simultaneously while standing on one foot with your eyes closed, that contributes more to that what we call proprioceptive ability, the ability to sense where your body is in space, at time, at speed, and that really changed.
Well, look at Bryson DeChambeau. He thought that was the answer, and it wasn't, and now he's downsized, if you will.
Yep.
And, well, you'll be able to hear him on Get your fit together.
Get your fit together.
Get your fit together with Jeff Ward and his lovely bride.
Lisa.
I got to keep that in my mind. Right now, speaking of your bride, we haven't had that female flavor in the studio for quite some time. Bill Butner has been really down in the dumps. You've been actually just a whining pain in the butt when it comes to this topic. So she was kind enough to come on. Say hello to your favorite.
Patty.
The cart girl, Suzette, is gracing us on the phone.
Seriously.
Say hello to this.
Hey, Patty!
I miss you, boys. How are we? Has anybody been giving Bill drinks? Anyone at all?
No, not Patty. They have been getting me water. They've been very good at getting me water.
No. I get you a blue drink, too, but it's less water and more ice pick vodka.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? He's actually been a little more attentive, though, since you're not here.
I miss you scowling at me, Mike. I do. I love it when you get all frustrated.
No, not Mike.
You come over. I love it that you're promoting our title sponsor, Ice Pick. But you'll come over with doubles for him, and that's at 5:07, and we got 2 hours to go.
And
for
I love
record,
everything
about it. I just ordered the blue drink from the bartenders and they make it happen. I wasn't the one putting doubles in it.
So what have you been up to, young lady? We haven't seen you for about 3 weeks.
I know. I'm so glad you guys let me call in today. It's just, this has been my busy season. So I've just been absolutely up to my eyeballs. I've got a charity gala on Saturday. I've got another function I'm doing. It's a live painting that I donate for foster children for that function on the 3rd. And then I have a show on the 11th. I should have a show on the 18th. And I have Art Basel on the 3rd of December. So
wow. It's
just, it's a whirlwind, but I absolutely love it. So I'm working on being famous like you guys.
That's the goal. Patty is an accomplished artist.
Okay, so I'm never going to be as famous as Tom, but I'm trying. I'm trying, Tom.
Tom's not here tonight. He just got back from Italy, and he's a little under the weather. Hey, tell people how they can see your work, where they can go, because we're gonna probably see in 2024 down here to do a mural at Ferg's, and we're looking forward to it. But where can people get a hold of you at, Patty?
So I have Instagram is pretty much my main mode. It's PATTI SUZETTE. That's my Instagram handle, all one word. Or if you want to go to my website, it would be Patti Suzette, PattiSuzette.com. That's it. So I'm fairly easy to stalk. I try to make it easy for people. But other than that, if anybody's out on the last mural that I'm finishing up, that's actually on Clearwater Beach. So that's the Jammin's all black light mural that I've done. I've painted inside. I'm almost done with the exterior. They're doing a little patch job, and then I'm going to finish that up in the following week. But Instagram is honestly the biggest one for me, because that way I promote and I can pretty much do it after work when I'm comatose on the couch.
Well, Butner, and Patti, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to, at least, you're busy the rest of the year, 2024, we're going to put together a strategy for you to give her lessons, and we'll watch the progress on the simulator.
I'm assuming she's been golfing every week. I mean, she started...
I've got going on, Bill, you know that I'm going to be lying to you when I say, absolutely, I have definitely done that.
But she didn't even have a swing, and now she has, swing was 1,000 times better than mine after a few little...
ice pick boxes.
She's an excellent teacher. Why do you think I keep
I can drink, but don't worry about that.
A swing lube.
Yeah, I got swing lube, but yeah.
We started her at the beginning, and she just flourished. And what can I tell you?
Yeah, well, we're looking for...
It's just your teaching, Bill. You're the best. Absolutely. I am very excited about this year.
We're lining up some high-profile events for our entire team to go out there. The comedy piece, you as well. And one of them will be, of course, the NFL Super Bowl of golf. We'll talk about that. And then we're also going to be with the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. So plenty of time for us to have a lot of fun. But we need you to get down here in the next couple of weeks, and we'll get the band back together, as they say. How's that sound?
You absolutely got it. Yeah, I was just trying to knock out some of this stuff, and I'm like, you know, I miss these boys so much. I got to at least call in. So thank you guys so much for taking me on. I do have a drink of the week if you wanted.
Give us a drink of the week, please. She's our queen of the cocktails.
Yes.
Not only do I paint, but I, you know, do terrible things with good vodka. Okay, so this is actually, I've titled it The Clubhouse. It is essentially an Aperol martini with ice pick vodka. So it is 1.5 ounces of ice pick vodka, 1 ounce of Aperol, which is an Italian bitters kind of liqueur. It's 1 ounce of lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of orange juice, and 3 to 4 dashes of orange bitters, shaken in a tin with ice, poured into a martini glass, and garnished with an orange peel or zest.
Text that to the old man, please.
I'm sold. I'm sold.
Sounds amazing. Just needs more vodka.
I'm serious. Text that to the old man. That might be my cocktail of choice this weekend when I do have a sip.
I figured I was going to go a little fancy. Let's get some martini glasses going on there. I will absolutely text that to you.
I like it. Thank you, honey. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. And text that over the old man. I'm going to shock some people and break that baby out.
I will text it now. You got it.
Miss you, Patti.
I miss you, too. I'll try to
You should see the tears rolling down his face.
Is he crying into his water?
Yes. Yes.
He's breaking my heart.
Oh, yeah. Well, we miss you. We'll talk to you soon, young lady. Bye.
All right.
She's Patti Suzette. She's our unofficial cart girl and the queen of cocktails. And she usually has a recipe each and every time she makes an appearance down here.
I think I'm going to have to make that a thing.
Yes, you do, dear. Bobby Van Sleeten, thanks for making an appearance. And
thank you.
You got 2 hours of content. I'm certain we'll talk boxing, you and I. And then, of course, Jeff, I always appreciate you coming down.
My pleasure.
I've been disciplined lately. I've been staying on my protein. I'm getting there.
Good.
Yeah, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. From the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse, I'm Mike Rickard for John Rager, Kerry McNally, Bobby Van Sweden, Jeremy Friedman, Bill Butner, Joe Berdrow, Matt on the controls, and of course, John Rager is at Sammy Hager right now. I'm the T Florida. Thanks for listening.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
Listen.